welcome to Amateur Opinions. Thank you so much for joining us. Episode 101. Easy, how you doing, bro?
I'm good, Diz. How you doing? I'm good.
I'm doing good. Thanks.
New week. Can't complain. Great game yesterday, so I'm buzzing.
Oh, man. United got the win. It was beautiful.
It was.
Such a good game. And we now finally look like a European team, you know? You know what I'm saying?
We do. I think tactically we were superb. And that was all on Oli. So I had to give him credit. And it was a fun watch. Like, you felt confident throughout the game, you know? There were moments where, like, it was panic, but tactically it was solid. And like you said, we look like a European team, which is great.
Yeah, and scary moments are to be expected when you're playing against a team like that, you know, like if you're playing Bayern Munich, Madrid, Barca, PSG, you know, City, Liverpool, you expect those moments to be there, you know.
For sure, for
and
sure.
So do they. You expect them to have them as well when they're playing us.
Yeah, agreed. It was interesting to see how Wan-Bissaka was handling Mbappe and Neymar. I thought that was quite cool.
But
getting too deep into it, all in all, great game. Yeah, you were going to say.
Yeah. No, I was going to get deep into it.
You were going to?
I was going to get deep into it. Just before
I
you
mean,
said,
we can. I don't mind. You know, I can do this all day.
I mean, it was a thing Kai mentioned was with why Wan-Bissaka wasn't looking as good was he mentioned that, you know, he was playing with Greenwood, and Greenwood was not pulling back at all, coming back to defend. So he was ending up having to mark, you know, two people, the winger and the fullback, with no help, which the time where Wan-Bissaka was doing really, really well, that's when Dan James was playing on the right. And then, you know, he'd obviously come back a lot. So 1v1, you know, you literally can't beat him. So yesterday, he was basically defending with Axel, you know, the two of them. You know, Axel was focusing more on Neymar, and then he was focusing on Mbappe, so or vice versa. So it was quite, yeah. So anytime it's one-on-one, you know, it's over pretty much.
But, I mean, 1v1, I always trust him. He's so hard to beat.
Yeah.
He's really hard to beat. Interesting point with him not getting help from Greenwood. But yesterday was just a defensive setup. But as good as the shape was, a lot of the things he was doing was just pure ability. Like some of the tackles he made. I think even his first tackle in the game, I was just like, wow, that's insane.
Yeah, there's a move. Neymar always eats his opposition. Like the one way he drags the ball. He does like a shimmy and then he drags the ball.
Okay.
You know that move? He kind of...
Is it like where you drag like the ball, like almost like in a U shape to sort of like cut in?
So you'll be standing still, right? Usually close to the baseline. And then he kind of does a shimmy with like a shoulder move, acting like he's going the other way. And then he already starts running. So it starts running down the baseline before actually dragging the ball. So that gives him like a head start. And then he drags it and then he keeps running. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
I have an idea of the move. So he starts running and then he drags the ball behind him. He sort of leaves it.
He leaves it and then he brings it with him after he already starts running, which usually leaves the defender dead because the defender usually typically starts running when the ball's moving as well. So he tried that on Wan-Bissaka. Wan-Bissaka snuffed it quickly, bro.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice. I don't remember the move particularly, but like I think I'll look out for it. But great game, dude. Martial and Rashford need to be a bit more clinical though. I think their decision making was not the best last night. Had it been, I think they could have scored 3 or 4.
Yeah, decision making, execution as well.
Yeah.
Wasn't really up to scratch, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And then Bruno just looks at home in the Champions League.
He does.
Yeah, even more than in the Premier League, funny enough.
Yeah, just any big stage, he just steps up. Hey, he's not scared, and he's up there with football's greatest.
And also Teller's corner delivery, also very good.
Yeah, he was good. He had a good debut. I was very impressed.
Yeah.
He was very good. I was very
impressed. I mean, with him and Bruno and set pieces, I mean, Maguire's going to be feasting on off corners.
Do you think Maguire will still play?
Yeah, for sure.
Interesting.
You don't think so?
I hope not. I just think he's not that guy. But I don't see Axel replacing him.
I think he can play with Axel, like the two of them.
So you would bench Lindelof?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Maguire. Think of Maguire last season. Don't think of the one we just had bad games.
Okay. Fair enough.
And he had a good game against Newcastle. He also scored. He's a threat off set pieces, which is obviously very important. I mean, think of if we hadn't scored that corner, right? I mean, he's basically our only threat for corners. If we hadn't scored that game would have been very different.
For sure.
That's why I think it's important, especially now that we have very good delivery off corners with Teles and Bruno. Then
fair enough. And he's quite the aerial threat, so I just hope he can make up for it at the back. Let's see.
Yeah,
let's see how he does. But it's good to know that we have options if he doesn't step up, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Great, man, great. But outside of football, what's been happening? What have you been into? What's happening this week? Well, what happened this week, actually?
So my homie bought the new FIFA.
Okay.
I think I told you this offline last
year. Yes, you did. You did.
Yeah. So he bought the new FIFA. So we were playing it.
Cool.
And it's... And I was also mentioning to you, like, it does feel smoother and more fluid, but I was saying to you offline that it feels like I always say that for every new FIFA.
Sure.
Right? And I was starting to be suspicious, like, what these updates do, because it's possible that, you know, the last 2 months, they kind of make it a bit more rough, even though we don't notice. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, I don't know.
Yes.
And then when the new one comes, you know, the smoothness kind of creates a mirage that this FIFA's, you know, is much better. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know, but it did feel that way. But I remember you mentioned you're not keen on buying the new FIFA. What's your thinking behind that?
Yeah, I'm not keen on FIFA this year. Firstly, I think because of lockdown, anytime I was gaming by myself, and FIFA is usually a game that I play with people.
Yeah,
that's usually when it's the game is at its most fun for me. It's an on-the-couch experience, you know?
Yep.
So, I mean, I haven't seen you in a while. I haven't seen a lot of my mates in a while. I haven't had anyone over. So there was no incentive, really, to buy it. But not only that, I mean, I stay with my brother as well, and we weren't playing it much either. And I just felt like the game was very stagnant, you know? I've been playing FIFA since 2000. I want to say 2003, 2002.
Yeah.
There are very few things I have as much experience in life as playing FIFA, which is sad. But yeah, it's the one thing I can say, dude, I've been doing this for 15 years. That's the one activity where I can be like, yo, I've been doing this for 15 years. Yep. But anyway, I always remember the transition from the PS2 to the PS3, I remember the jump in the game, and it felt quite immense. You know, I could really feel it, and I felt like the game was getting better each year. I remember a big jump was from 2007 to 2008. I felt like as a soccer simulation, they had jumped leaps and bounds. And then the other big jump I felt was, I think, 2011, 2012. You know, I was like, yo, this is cool. And then even around FIFA 14, 15, I felt like, okay, this was a bit of a jump. But then around from 16 onwards, I felt like I was playing the same game.
Mm.
I used to enjoy the manager mode. They stopped improving that. I think that's been the same for the past 6 years or so. I always used to love the additions to manager mode, you know? Whether it's the youth academy system improves, or I remember they added negotiating in 2016. They added animations, I think, in 2017, where you could actually see your manager interacting with the player and having contracts. I used to love those little additions. Basically, I just love the game getting better each year. And I don't think it's like that anymore. So that's why I'm out. Because for me, the experience is the same. And then now I'm going to drop a K to play the same game, but people are in different teams. So that was my rationale. But there's more. There's more that upsets me with FIFA. I mean, EA, actually. So I think we spoke about this offline, about the Ultimate Team.
Yeah.
So Ultimate Team, for people who don't know, is this... I think most people who play FIFA will know this, but it's this game mode where it's almost a fantasy-like team that you build. And there's a lot of microtransactions involved. And I'm really not a big fan of microtransactions in gaming. I really don't like it because I've already spent money to get the game. And then you want me to buy more. So microtransactions, for people who don't know, is when you purchase a game but you can still buy things within the game, kind of like in Candy Crush. In-game
purchases, yeah.
Yes, Candy Crush comes to mind, where you can buy extra lives. But at least with Candy Crush, I don't mind because the game is free. You know what I'm saying? So I understand
Same with like a Fortnite.
Yes, and with Fortnite's microtransactions, it's not pay to win. In Fortnite, it's purely cosmetic, right?
Okay.
There's nothing you can pay for in Fortnite that allows you to win. It's purely cosmetic. You cannot spend a cent on Fortnite and still win and be ultra competitive. Whereas with FIFA, if you want to compete online in this Ultimate Team game mode, whoever spends the most money gets the best team. Not only is it a case of whoever spends the most money, but it's also like a casino. Because if you spend money to get better players, it's sort of like a lottery. So you don't know who you're going to get.
How does the buying players work?
Exactly, yes. That's with buying players.
No, as in how does it work? Like, what do you have to do?
Oh, how does it work?
Yeah.
So essentially, you buy a pack and... I'm not too sure because I actually haven't played the game mode, but my understanding is you would buy a pack. It would have a certain amount of players, and it's I think you get a certain class of players in a pack, if that makes sense. Yes. You know, so maybe they'll group a bunch of players together and you have a chance of getting a certain caliber of players. So me and you can both spend, but I might get De Bruyne and you maybe get Mahrez or something. I've got the better player, but we've both spent the same amount of money. And what that does is it encourages you to buy again. So there's an argument that this is simulating a casino, you know?
Right. It's like a slot machine.
100% like a slot machine. And the reason that FIFA, for me, and maybe for you, I'm not interested in that game mode. I'm interested in the on-couch experience, which is why it hasn't got better for me. Like, when I went and researched this Ultimate Team thing, I was like, oh, no wonder why. This is the flagship game mode that they're interested in. And for me, it's very cartoony and gimmicky, because now it's not about creating a soccer simulator, which is what I loved about the game originally, was how realistic could it be, and how close could they be to simulating an actual soccer experience? But they don't care about that more. They care now about monetizing this Ultimate Team experience. And yeah, for me, it just feels a little bit unethical, you know, if that makes sense. So yeah. I'm kind of not interested because the developers are lazy. They're making the same game. I feel like it's copy-paste, change the kits. The players' faces look the same. And the innovation from the franchise is gone. And I it's across the board with a lot of EA's games. So that's why I decided, like, yo, I'm out with FIFA. Hey, I'm really good. I can play 18 or 19, and I think I'll be getting the same experience. For real.
I'm curious to see I mean, a lot of the big jumps we saw were due to the new console, right?
At
least the biggest jumps. Of course, there were jumps in between as well. But I'm curious to see how much of a jump, right? FIFA 21 PS5 will be compared to even FIFA 21 on PS4. Because at least the nice thing they've done is if you buy it on PS4, you can download it for free on PS5. So at least you don't have to buy it twice. So I'm actually curious to see if there's a big jump. If there happens to be a big jump, and well, first question is, are you getting the new console when it comes out, or when?
When
do you think you're getting it? Yeah, when are you getting the PS5?
Probably next year. I'll wait for it to mature. I'll definitely wait for it to mature. So I'll hold out.
What do you mean by mature?
So when the, you know, usually developers, so they get access to this new console and it allows them to do more with their games. Like a big thing with these new consoles is ray tracing. Ray tracing is basically what happens now in games is when you play a game, they sort of calculate where shadows will be. So when you're playing FIFA and you see a shadow of the ball, it's actually not real. What they're kind of doing is they're saying the ball is here. Let's create a black dot over here, you know?
Okay.
But what ray tracing allows is it allows the light to behave the way that it does in real life. And that completely changes the experience because now the light sort of bounces off in the game the way it would in real life, right?
Right.
Yeah. And you don't notice how bad games are. Not bad is a wrong term, but you don't notice the difference ray tracing makes until you've seen it.
Yeah.
So imagine shining a torch on a wall. You know the way that there will be like this really bright spot in the middle and then the light will sort of fade as you get away from the center of where the light is shining? You know?
Yeah.
Ray tracing allows developers to do that. So before, because if you're working at EA or any of these gaming places, because you know that the consoles don't have ray tracing, you haven't been developing for it. But now that it's available, you're going to start, but it's going to take you a while to really get your game in a place that you're happy with, that you can put it out, you know? So I think it's going to take like a year or two, maybe three, before you see developers making use of ray tracing, putting it into their games. That's just one example, you know?
So is ray tracing a real-life example that's actually there, or are you just using it as a...
It's a real-life example. That's one of the big things. I don't know if you saw the trailer. There's a PS5 demo, the Unreal demo. It was this girl walking through... did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. I think you
pointed me to it. That was all ray tracing. Do you remember there's a scene where she goes in a cave and it's dark and I think she switches on a torch or something?
Yeah,
if you go watch that video again, that's where you'll really see ray tracing and the way it behaves. I think there's even a demo where like they show shadow, like the sun is shining, right?
Mm-hmm.
On a particular spot, but then there's darker spots where the shadow will be. It's quite incredible. It makes a huge difference to the gaming experience. So that's a real thing.
Okay.
Another thing is frame rate and things like that, resolution. Like the 4K is a big thing as well, you know.
Okay, so what will change is mainly the games, not necessarily the console itself, in terms of the maturing process you're talking about.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So the console itself is there, but now it's sort of it's up to the developers now to create games that fully utilize the console. And usually at the beginning of a console's lifetime, developers haven't fully prepared for it. So you'll find that the really good games come out maybe a year or two after launch, sometimes really late into the console's lifeline. Like with the PS4, you'll find a lot of the really flagship PS4 games came out towards the end. So I think I'm going to wait because there's nothing right now that I won't be able to experience on the PS4. So I think I'd recommend for most people to... I mean, you can get it on launch, but I'd say most people would be okay holding out.
But the price won't really be a different... there won't be excuse me, there won't be a big difference, right, if you hold out? Or does the price usually go down?
I think it usually goes down, if I'm not mistaken. Usually,
if we're talking about within a 12-month period, it won't, right? It won't go down.
No, I don't think there'll be much of a
maybe like 3-4 years.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And even that's not, like, even a year or two is not bad. I don't even think getting it in 2 years' time is the worst move, depending on what your needs are, of course.
Do you remember at what point you got your PS4? How many years into it?
I think 3 years in. I want to say 3 years. When did it come out? I don't remember. I know I got mine.
Check when it came out.
Yeah. Just check. But I believe I got mine 2015 or 16.
PS4 release date was 2013, November 2013.
Okay, so I was about 2-3 years into it.
Yeah, I got my Xbox One 2015, so that's, and it was late 2015, so that's 2 years. Because I think Xbox One was also 2013, November.
For sure, and I guarantee you, dude, we missed nothing. If you look back at the games that have come, if you were to Google now, best games on Xbox One, I guarantee you a lot of them came out after 2015.
Yeah, of course, for sure. I mean, also, yeah. I mean, yeah. I was also broke for me to be buying it. I was a student. So when I started working, it was one of the things I really wanted. It was also my first console.
For sure.
You know, so that was great. I loved it. I was excited. Yeah,
but and even Xbox with money, was cheaper. Yeah, I think even with money now, I think waiting out there, you did it by force. You probably would have gone and spent it out, but I would have told you, even if you had the money back then, I think I would have still said, yo, like, let's hold out, because my PS4 came with some free games and they are absolute trash, dude. They were horrendous. So
and also right now, at the moment, I also don't have a console. So if if it comes out and then I want to get one, then I'll get one. I'll get, you know, the new one, obviously. But that's because I don't have one. But if I had one, if I still had one, I would probably wouldn't be in much of a rush like you.
For sure. Yeah, definitely is no rush. And look, if you're... Because another thing is, you were talking about like the things that are a big feature now. 4K is a big thing now, right?
Yes.
So another thing that I think people can also consider is, if you're a guy who, because there are a lot of dudes who literally just play FIFA and that's them, and maybe the odd game on the side, right? If a 4K TV is not in your plan for the next 3 or 4, 5 years, right? Mm. Don't go and get the flagship Xbox. There's no point, you know? You'll be better off getting the smaller one. If you're going to be jamming on a 1080 monitor or 1440, you might as well get the smaller one.
Wouldn't you rather just buy the legit one and then do the 4K if you're going to do the 4K? Do the 4K at some point.
I think people need to be intentional about it, you know, because I think some people don't know that. So they'll just buy the flagship one and not have a 4K monitor in their plans, you know. It's more a case of like, I just want the best for the sake of having the best. So I would say, like, that's look, true. If you're going to get an Xbox, I would say that big one only makes sense if a 4K monitor is in the pipeline. Otherwise, you'd be better off getting the smaller version. I think it's a Series S. I forgot the name.
Yeah, something like that. And also, another point on 4K, you know, my brother bought a 4K TV recently.
Nice.
And we were thinking, we wanted to upgrade, you know, our Netflix subscription to the 4K one. Realized not a lot of 4K shows on Netflix, you know?
That's so true, dude. Yeah. That's so true.
And we're in Dubai, right? So we have pretty fast internet. We go on YouTube. And you know, we play some 4K videos, and they weren't playing as smoothly as you'd want them to, especially on Wi-Fi. On wired, it probably would have. Actually, it did on when it was on a wired
connection.
Yeah, but on Wi-Fi it was rendering, you know, here and there. It wasn't smooth. So 4K is there, but it's not yet, you know, readily available easily for
that's
people.
The thing. I think that's such a good point that you raise, right? Where sometimes the technology comes. It's the same. Remember, you're asking about games and the console maturing. It's the same thing in TV. Guys will be like, okay, we're making an 8K monitor, but who's making 8K videos?
No one. Yeah. No one. 4K is so, barely supported.
Exactly. So before people are running out to get a 4K, I'm going to wait for guys to start shooting movies in 4K. I think I'm good for now. You know, it's such a good point that you raise.
And you know, an 8K TV will cost you so much, whereas in five years it won't.
100%.
where you can actually make use of 8K. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I think for most, bringing it back now, I think gaming is the one place where I think 4K, we're ready to kick it off, you know? So I think now is a good time if people are interested in these next generation consoles, especially if you want to be like a really early adopter, then, okay, plan for your 4K TV and get the console. But this is why making sense, I mean, why waiting makes even more sense for me, right? Because rather wait for the console to mature, wait for the games to get better, wait for 4K monitors to get cheaper, and then go in and fully utilize it. Because I think if you get it too early, you know, you're not going to really get the maximum benefit out of it right now. But there's nothing wrong with getting it at launch. But those are some of the reasons as to why I'm holding out and I'm waiting, you know.
Yeah. Another thing with the PlayStation, cosmetically speaking, is it's a very, call it slick and slick design, right?
For sure.
And if you're into kind of, you know, keeping your decor in your living room kind of just for it to blend with the furniture you have and the appliances you have, because they're only releasing the white one, right? At least right now.
They are releasing third party. They're going to be releasing, I don't know whether to call it wings. I don't know what phrase to use. But I think, you know, it sort of has these wings that sort of make it look like a Wi-Fi router.
Yes.
So they will be releasing third party hosts will be able to develop those so you can customize it, apparently.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Okay, that
but
helps.
Yes,
that helps.
The short answer is yes, it's only white for now.
Yeah, okay. I mean, if they're going to do that, it's fine. Because I'm kind of into, especially right now, even though I don't have my own place, but I'm into kind of, you know, making things look in place, right? So the nice thing about the Xbox is it's just a box, so it really fits in anyway. But the PlayStation has a particular design that, you know, you'd want to kind of incorporate, which if you do, it would look really nice.
Yes.
Yeah, but yeah, that was just a side note.
Great, that's a great point, right? And it's huge, apparently. Like, it's a big machine. It's a big machine.
So it sticks out.
Oh no, it doesn't. It doesn't hide itself. And with my current setup right now, I don't know where I would put it. I'd struggle.
Yeah, I'm trying to think where you'd actually put it. Because where's your PS4? Where do you keep
my PS4? So my PS4 is upstairs now. I have like a little bit of a desk setup. I play where I work.
So it's not like downstairs anymore?
No. It's almost like a streamer sort of like setup now.
Oh, okay. And what screen do you use? Your computer screen?
Yeah. Yeah, no, okay. I do have a gaming monitor, and then I have a screen, like a proper, just a normal monitor for computer stuff. So I have a dual monitor sort of setup going.
All right.
Yeah, so right now I don't know where like a PS5 would, because the PS4 sort of sits on my desk, because it's quite a slim machine. That PS5 is massive, dude.
Yeah, it's and so Kate, is it possible to even put it horizontally? Or they made it impossible?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. And I should know that, given how much I love this stuff. I should know. But I don't know. I really don't know. Yeah. So it's quite interesting. Since we're talking tech now, the iPhone 12. Did you see that? What were your thoughts on it? If you had any at all.
I saw the brought back, you know, the square edges, the 90 degree edges, like the ones from iPhone 5. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that was dope. I like that because they've been doing the round ones since the six.
Six. You're right. Yeah, the five was still square.
Mm. Yeah, so that was a good throwback. I haven't seen it in person. Have you seen it in person?
No, I haven't. I've just seen it online. I don't think it's touched South Africa yet, so I haven't, okay. Seen it.
It's out for sale now, right?
I believe so. I'm not sure. But one thing I did like about, I love the range that they put. Like, you can go all the way from that iPhone 12 mini to that iPhone 12 Pro Max. How many? I think it's the mini, the iPhone 12, and then I don't know if it's the Pro or Pro Max. I don't know if I've got it correct. I think there's at least four different models that you can go in for.
And are these, do you mean by range, you mean the size or the price?
The range. So, like, even the price, I think it goes from $600 to $1,000.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think there's four. There's an iPhone 12. There's an iPhone 12 mini. Then there's iPhone 12 Pro, and then there's iPhone 12 Pro Max. So I like how they're trying to stretch the range of people who can accommodate it. And also just get, because, I mean, you don't always want like a crazy 4K camera. Sometimes you just want something to stream Netflix, but you still want the iPhone experience. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, do the iPhones have 4K as well?
Oh, yeah. As far back as the iPhone 7. Like, even mine can record in 4K. And I have an iPhone 7 Plus.
Oh, okay. So it's been a thing. Okay.
Yeah, it's been a thing for a while. So I think that was cool. I know they're not coming with the charger bricks anymore. Which is interesting.
I heard that. So what's the reasoning behind it? They want you to buy it separately?
So they say that it's a environmental thing. And, I mean, you can't argue with that, right? You really can't.
It's a smart angle.
You can't. But they are the people who are a bit more... what's the word that I'm looking for? The word has left me. But some people believe that it's just an opportunity for more revenue because you just have to buy a brick because you don't have one. But they also released the magnetic charging thing, so maybe they're trying to push that. Who knows? But the official reason is the environment. I was just thinking about, like, with the iPhone, when it came out, it made me think about something where... when the console prices were released, everyone went crazy about how expensive the consoles are, right?
Yeah.
They were like, yo, 11K for a console. That's, you know, that's so much. I saw someone joke, you're going to pay 11K for a DVD player. Thought that was funny, you know?
Yeah.
but these phones are, in most cases, almost double the price, right?
Yeah, when you go to the Pro Max, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No one will look at you like you're crazy for having an expensive phone.
That's very true.
If anything, people never even discuss the idea of phones because everyone's getting them on contracts. And people forget how much they actually expend on these things, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, so I thought that was funny how when it comes... like, it's the one piece of technology where price doesn't matter. Even more so than laptops. Like, I think the iPhone 12 prices are comparable to an entry-level MacBook. You know,
the iPhone, yeah, iPhone 12,
yeah,
the entry,
sure. Like,
entry Mac, oh, yeah, entry MacBook, so the like the MacBook Air,
MacBook
or something.
Air.
Yeah,
like I think you can, for $1,000, that you're getting a very good laptop for $1,000,
yeah,
you're getting a good desktop for $1,000, you know,
like, but really people can't, machine. People would, yeah, that's the thing. Like, there's a thing of, it's okay to, you know, buy the new iPhone. I remember, actually, interesting story. Remember the time in when I bought my this equipment for the podcast.
Yes.
So that was, must have been 2017. So, and we did that vlog, right? For your vlog, we did a vlog where I was
where you went to buy the gear.
Went to buy the gear, yeah. So yeah, I remember. Lovely. Yeah, I remember. So the girl I went with, Janine, she, you know, she went with me because we're working together. So we just took the walk, and then we get there. And then the guy, the salesman, is telling me the price. So it all came up to about 7,000, right? So this girl's like, wow, you're paying 7,000 for this. That is crazy. And then I was like, dude, look at the phone you're holding, right? So she had the latest iPhone at the time, which was a 2017. It's probably what? A 7.
7?
Yeah. So she's holding the 7, which was worth more for sure than
must have
that.
Been about 16, I think.
At the was time? It 16? Holy crap!
I think like the really expensive ones, because I think mine went. I this is the iPhone 7 Plus, but I'm pretty sure. Okay, maybe let's say between.
I think it was 13. I think it was around 13, because I remember it was almost double, but not quite. So 12, 13. So I was like, dude. I was like, dude, you know my equipment is gonna, first of all, it's gonna last me way longer than that phone is, right? Just in terms of lifetime. And I was like, people kind of think it's like, you know, buying a new phone is an essential. But I was like, this right here, you know, it's gonna do a lot for me, you know, just as, you know, a hobby or, you know, this podcast. And I'm happy that I'm still doing it as well.
Like, you could wake up and say, I mean, just to add to your point, like, I know a lot of YouTubers use the same gear that we use for our podcast to, like, record their audio, you know.
Exactly,
Music, whatever. So, but continue. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, my equipment is timeless. That's all I was basically trying to say. Sure. And then she was like, that's an interesting point, you know. But that's kind of the thing I was just saying regarding phones, where it's like a necessity or an okay, crazy expense for people to kind of, you know, put up with.
For sure. Which is great for the phone industry. Because it's because of the contract culture, dude.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
100%.
100%.
Which, yeah, just I know you got to run for a meeting. So, yeah, I think I'm good to wrap this bad boy up.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm interested to know if, you know, anyone who's keen on buying, you know, either the new PlayStation or the new iPhone, what your guys' thoughts are on that. Just put it in the comments section on SoundCloud or just holler at me on Instagram. I don't mind that too.
Also, especially during this time, I'm interested in, like, where does tech fit into people's budget given the current climate? This is another thing that I'm curious about.
Is it socially responsible to buy the new gear that's come out?
For sure.
Easy. Thanks so much for connecting. I think we can wrap this up, like you said. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to like and subscribe and do all the things you usually do. 5-star review on iTunes keeps us high on the charts. These are amateur opinions. If you like them, you can take them. If you don't, you can leave them. Peace.
All right. Peace, guys.